Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. Now, our subject today is going to be the full soul. The full soul. Let's read the passage and you'll see. Proverbs 27, 7. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Read it again. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Now here we see that the full soul loathes even something as sweet and as nourishing and as enjoyable as a honeycomb. It's kind of like the way a man feels sometimes when he's offered dessert after a meal. The problem is he's eaten so much food that he just can't see how he has room to put anything else in his belly, and so he passes on a dessert. If you're just too full to eat it, then you just have to pass. I can't eat desserts anyway, but it's, you know, you hate to see the look on a face of a guy when he sees a dessert like that, and you know he wants to eat it, but there's just no more room for it. Well, that's the way that it is with this full soul. The honeycomb is a good thing, a desirable thing, it's a sweet thing, it's a healthy thing. The guy says, man, I'm stuffed, I'm full. I can't even imagine it. I don't want to feel like I'm going to feel after I eat it, you know. All right, now, but the contrast here is that you have the hungry soul. And he says here, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Well, the hungry soul would consider that even though what he's about to eat doesn't taste good, it will satisfy his hunger, it will nourish his body, and so he looks forward to it because it's doing more than just appeasing his appetite. As a matter of fact, it may not appeal to his appetite at all, but it's good for him. So whether it's bitter or not, it's good. I remember what I used to call beet cocktail. I had a intestinal problem as a result of Giardia and trying to get over all that stuff years ago. I remember that I would make a concoction. My wife couldn't stand the smell of it, but I would put cabbage and beets and carrots and onions and garlic and a variety of other things. I can't even remember the recipe, and I would cook this thing down in a crock pot until I could extract the juice from it. And then I would pour off the juice and drink the juice periodically, and there was a lot of nutrition in that. Now, let me tell you something. That was bitter. But my soul was hungry. I needed the health that could be given to me by this thing that I was drinking. And it would allow me during periods of fasting to have nourishment, but not have to eat solid foods. It really did a lot to, you know, to restore the damage that was done to my digestive tract by this Giardia, by this one cell amoeba. So the picture here that we're looking at is simple, yet it's profound. The honeycomb represents the spiritual things of God, like the words of God. We know that from passages like 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27, we have the episode where Jonathan receives some honey from a honeycomb while he and the armies of Saul are fighting against the Philistines. All right, now, Saul has said, you're not to eat anything. Everybody's supposed to fast till we kill them all, which is kind of stupid. The army needed to be nourished. Jonathan didn't hear the command, so he ate. And when he put his hand to his mouth, the Bible says his eyes were enlightened. His eyes were enlightened. Well, we know by cross-referencing Scripture that when you have the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. And so the spiritual lightening of your eyes takes place from reading the Bible. And the physical lightening of your eyes takes place in eating from the honeycomb or the honey from the honeycomb. And so you see the connection then that the honeycomb in our passage represents the spiritual things of God, like understanding from the words of God. We also see in Psalm 19, verse 10, that the words of God are more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Now, that shows you that the word of God is like gold, and it's also like honey and the honeycomb, and that it's actually sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb, and it's actually more desirable than gold. So from the words of God, then we also have real wealth. And then we see from Proverbs chapter 24, verses 13 and 14, that the knowledge of wisdom is sweet to thy soul, like honey and the honeycomb are sweet to your taste, see? So with this comparison of honey and the words of God, we see that like honey gives you sweet taste and great desire and understanding of the words of God, then also or great opening of your eyes, likewise the words of God will give you understanding and wealth and wisdom. Okay? So there's a connection there. So in the proverb that we're looking at, when he says the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, all right, the picture is that the full soul also likewise loatheth the words of God. You see? By contrast, the hungry soul then is a man that hungers and thirsts for righteousness and the things of God. The full soul is someone who is filled up on the things of the world, so he's not hungry. The hungry soul is the man that hungers and thirsts for righteousness and who takes the words of God over anything else, though they make his belly bitter. When you read in Revelation chapter 10, and John takes the book and eats it, and it's sweet to his taste and makes his belly bitter. When you read in Ezekiel chapter 3, that Ezekiel eats the roll, it's sweet to his taste, but when he goes to preach, he's going in the spirit of bitterness, if you read on in Ezekiel chapter 3. In other words, the word of God might, while it be sweet to the taste, sweeter than honey, there is a bitterness that comes in the belly as you see your own sin in the light of God's holiness, and you see the condition of this world in the light of God's judgment. So a hungry soul is the man that hungers and thirsts for spiritual things, for righteousness, for God's words. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, we read an interesting passage. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know what the problem then is? The problem today is that Christians are not hungry enough for the spiritual things of God because their souls are full of things from the world. As a child ruins his appetite for supper by filling up on cotton candy and popcorn and sodas and candy bars, so a Christian ruins his appetite for spiritual things by filling up on the world. What kills a Christian's appetite for the spiritually nourishing things of God? What is it that causes your soul to be full and loathe the honeycomb of God's words? What is that? Well, there are lots of things that the world offers to Christians. Taken separately, they don't seem like they're that bad. Taken as a whole, they absolutely kill your appetite, so that when the words of God are presented to you, you just go, oh man, I just don't have room. There's not another way. There's just no way I can have that. I'm just stuffed. And you loathe the sweet things of God. What are these things that kill the Christian's appetite for these spiritually nourishing things of God? Well, they're not in necessarily any specific order, but one of the first things is television and movies. When you get home from a day's work and you're tired, you'll turn on the news to catch up on the news. You say, well, as a Christian, I ought to be aware of what's going on in the world. I want to know what's happening in Iraq and what's happening in the Middle East. Those things occur in prophecy. So you sit down and watch TV. Well, after that's over, you go over and you get a plate of food and you have your supper with your family and you go back over there and you go, you say, I've had a hard day at work. I need to kind of lighten up my mind a little bit. So you flip on the one of the shows and you watch a sitcom or something like that or whatever, and then you've seen that and you've kind of laughed and you say, you know, I'm not quite ready to go to bed yet. I wonder if there are any good movies on. You flip over to your selection of movies that are on there. You go, oh, I heard such and such is a good movie. You start watching that, and next thing you know, you go to bed. Next day, what do? You get home. Well, it's Monday night. What's on at Monday night? Oh, there's football on or basketball on or baseball on or hockey on. You know, and I like those things. Oh, my favorite team is playing. You start to watch all that. You get 2 or 3 hours of all that going on and the emotional ups and downs. Next thing you know, you sleep, you go to bed. And night after night after night after night, that television and those movies are stealing not only your time, but the television and the movies are stealing your spiritual appetite so that now you have been so filled up with all these other things that you don't really desire to sit down and read the words of God. Why? There are no pictures associated with them. You've been able to sit there and watch somebody else just feed you with pictures and words on a movie, and now you don't feel like that. You know, I don't want to work through what I have to do to read these words. They don't appeal to my emotions the same way those movies and the television do. So I'm full. I don't think I want to sit down and read the Bible. That's what happens to you. But that's just one thing. Then there's another thing. How about the internet? How about the internet? You say, oh yeah, I gotta surf there. I gotta see what's going on with the weather. I gotta check my email. I gotta see what happened to the stock market. I gotta check over here and do a little Google search on this and that. I gotta buy a few things. Oh, I want to read this interesting article. I'll go over here and look at this deal. Oh, here's a movie clip. The next thing you know, you've spent a great portion of your evening because you can get lost in that internet. I mean, you get started in that thing, and the next thing you know, you have filled your day. And you wonder, where did my time go? Well, you've been surfing and looking for this and that, going over to eBay and checking the price on something you bid on that you just got to have. And the next thing you know, you've killed a great period of your time. Well, there's a lot of interaction going on the internet. You're chatting here and you're chatting there and you're blogging here and you're blogging there and you're emailing here and emailing there. And the Bible's not like that. And so you're bored with it. You're full. I'll tell you another thing that'll steal your spiritual appetite. Novels and magazines. Oh, well, I'm a great hunter and I got to keep up with the latest hunting knives, hunting guns, hunting dress, hunting blinds, hunting corn, hunting cameras, this and that. I mean, tell you, boy, you could spend a life savings on all of your hunting stuff. So you got to read the magazines, and then you want to check up Sports Illustrated because you didn't get to see all the sports last week, but you want to see what the commentaries have to say about who's going to go to the NFL out of college and blah, blah, blah. And then you got to read the magazines on what's taking place here in the state, and you got to read your, you know, whatever favorite magazines, your do-it-at-home magazines or whatever. And then novels and magazines. Here's the lady, and she's done her housework, and she's cleaned up, and the kids are doing their studies, and she goes over there and gets her novel, and she reads it, and it's compelling, and it's interesting, and it's exciting, and it's mysterious, and the Bible doesn't read like that. So all of a sudden you say, well, I need to do my Bible reading tonight. You cannot get geared up for it, because you kind of know what the stories are, and you sort of know what the overview is, and you think, well, I kind of know about that stuff. But the problem is you're full. See, and you're bored with what you read in the book. What'll kill your appetite for spiritually nurturing things of God? Social activities. Oh, just take a look at your list every day. And, you know, when you look down your list of activities that you have planned for the day and the things that you've written into your calendar, you didn't leave any space for Bible reading. You're tied up constantly with shopping, with visiting, with telephoning, with going out on your social calendar, with going about, with running around, and the next thing you know, you have so filled your day with activity, you can't stop long enough for your mind to settle in on the words of God peacefully and concentrate. I do my Bible reading, most of it, in the morning, because when I wake up in the morning, I'm pretty dull. My mind's not racing about a lot of things. And then I do a little bit of, not as much, but a little bit of Bible reading at night before I go to bed. And you know something? It is difficult to try to do Bible reading during the middle of the day. You know why? Mine's got too many things going on. So if you wait till the end of the day, and some people can. Okay, I can't, but some people can. If you wait till the end of the day to try to do your Bible reading, you'll never get it done. Why? Mine's all tied up with the activities and the list of what you're going to do tomorrow. Kids' activities. I'm telling you, the way the children are treated today, we're just bus captains, man. We just haul them here, taxi services. We just haul them here and haul them there and haul them there. And you're running, constantly keeping up with the kids and their sporting activities and their after-school activities and in their extracurricular activities until finally you are just worn out with it. And then what? You're going to read the Bible? you can't even get into it. Sports is another thing, and I don't mean just, you know, you're viewing them. We've already talked about that, but your activity in them. You know, you like to play volleyball, like to play softball, like to jog, like to go to the athletic center wherever you are and work out and do your exercises and all those kind of things. And, you know, there's a lot of activity with all that. And you get all excited about that. Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little. It'll do you some good. But godliness is profitable to all things. In other words, it's better. But you don't take the time because, you know why? You're filled. You've already satisfied all your cardiovascular necessities. You've already satisfied all of your resistance exercises. You've already done all your yoga and your meditation. And so then by the time you want to sit down and read the Bible, what do you need that for? You're full. You don't even want to read it. You loathe it. The Bible says the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. You don't have to ask people that aren't reading the Bible why they don't read it. They're not reading it because they're full. Full of what? Hobbies. People say you got to have a hobby in order to be able to enjoy things. You know, if I've had a hobby, it would probably be something like fishing, but I don't know if that's really a hobby. I mean, I think of hobby as making airplanes and, you know, tying flies and weaving baskets and whatever people do. You know, just their hobbies. You get tied up on that. And the hobby, what does it become? It becomes the therapeutic thing you do after working hard at your job all day that keeps you from having to deal with other things. Occupation. You got to work 8 hours a day, minimum. A lot of people that really like what they do work 10, 12 hours a day and love it and want to do it and pour the effort into it. But man, I'm going to tell you what, in occupation, that mind gets occupied. You get home and it's still on the mind. You go to bed, it's still on the mind. You wake up in the morning and you're already thinking about what you're going to do when you get to the office. Read the Bible with that going on? You can't. Why? Your soul is full. Possessions. The accumulation of the possessions and the care of the possessions wears you down to a nub. It fills you up. The accumulation of your possessions and the care of your possessions, that really consumes you. It fills you up. You like this pretty little thing and like that nice little thing over there and, oh, isn't this pretty, and I'm dust this little cabinet here and, oh, that's a little, I remember that painting and that picture brings back good memories and, oh, isn't that neat what I found when I was on my trip to some far and away, out of the way place in the world and I've got this little thing there. Wouldn't you like to see this little deal here? And this gun was given to me by my great-great-grandfather and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And those things eat and fill and eat until finally there's no desire for the spiritual things of God. And on top of that, recreation. It's the weekend. I'm tired. I've been working all week. I got to take some time off. I got to go spend time doing this, that, and the other thing just to make myself feel better. I've got to play frisbee golf. I got to go to the hunting lease. I got to go fishing. I got to drive the boat. I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to go camping. Anything to fill voids besides the Word of God. What's the matter? You're feasting on these things like eating a huge steak dinner, and then when the waitress comes by and offers you a good-looking cheesecake, you ain't got the room. And by the time God comes by and offers you some spiritual nourishment, you say, man, I am just stuffed. Man, I ain't got time. I'm just tired. I'm full up. Maybe tomorrow. And then, of course, the full belly. It is hard to keep your eyes open when you have filled that belly. And, you know, they say obesity is the big problem for the folks in the United States of America, and I've noticed it looking on the bellies of some preachers, quite a few of them, that they like, I heard one preacher say, he didn't say we like fellowship, he said we like bellyship. What's the problem? Full up, man, and you fill that belly like that, it'll shut your eyeballs. It will, until you can't function. And that's why when you listen to Brother Roloff preach on the radio, and he's always going on things concerning diet, he understood something. You put the wrong kind of stuff in there, and it will bring you down to lethargy, and you'll be full, and you'll have no desire for spiritual things. That's why when folks came to the home for help, he changed their diets, because they were full up on things of the world, and not hungry enough for the spiritually nourishing things of God. Now, with all the things I mentioned to you, and they cover your base, like I said, taken alone, none of these things in and of themselves is bad, but you put all these things together and fill your soul with these things, you'll lose your spiritual appetite. And therefore, you won't be getting any spiritual nourishment, and you won't desire any spiritual nourishment because these things you're involved in have an appetite for themselves. If you like novels, you'll want to read novels. If you like movies, you're going to want to watch movies. If you like the internet, you won't be satisfied till you spend time on the internet. If you got to watch TV, you won't be happy till you watch it. If you're a social type of person that needs social activity, and so forth and so on and so on and so forth. A man like that, that has these things in his life, has no desire to sit still and commune with God in the Bible and in a church. He's not comfortable there. Why? Stuffed. Full. So you say, well, what's the solution to this problem? And it does have a solution. And it's pretty obvious what it is. You got to trim the fat. Really, you got to trim the fat. You got to look down your list of priorities and say, I have got to start spiritually nourishing this body, and I have crowded out God with all these other things in my life. You got to take an axe and start whacking away at the stuff that is crowding God out. One of the best things to do, I think, is cut that television off. I've told you some time back about a preacher that was on visitation. He went up to the second story apartment of a fella, knocked on the door, and when he did, that door swung open, and the guy was walking out with a television and just about knocked the preacher off the balcony. Threw that television off the balcony and said to him, what can I help you with? He said, well, I'm a preacher. I came here to talk about your soul. He said, good, come on in, talk to us. He said, what was that all about the TV? I mean, it was crashed down there in the courtyard. He said, I just had to get rid of that thing. It was stealing my family. Well, I don't know that you have to go to that extreme, but you got to shut her down, baby. Listen, people say, well, I need to know the news. I know more news, and we've proved it to ourselves, studying that Old Testament than you'll ever get by listening to what politicians are telling you and the media is telling you about what's going on in the world. I mean it. We've been doing an overview of the Old Testament and a study of the kings of Israel and of Judah, and we learn more about what's going on in current events and what's going on in world politics and world diplomatic relations and world war and world economy by looking in that Bible than we ever have by studying a newspaper or watching television. I mean, it's just loaded with it. It's like the fellow I told you about who was up in his 70s and he was concerned, you know, about how much longer he had to live. And he decided he wanted to read his Bible through another time. And he said, this time I'm going to read it through in 3 weeks. And his granddaughter came through there from time to time and noticed that he was, you know, stuck with his nose in that book the whole time. And she said, Grandpa, what you doing? What you reading? He said, I'm reading the news. I'm reading the news. There's more to it in that Bible than you get out of anything that you're going to find on television. You're going to have to cut out some social activities and leave some time for God, or cut back on a kid's activity, or cut back on a hobby, or quit playing video games, or get better control of the time you spend in your job, or don't accumulate so many possessions. We're going through a culling process there at the house right now. It just gets to a place where you can hardly, you know, you're just constantly having to deal with these things. Best thing to do is just punt, just give it away, sell it, get rid of it, do something, and pare down where you can function easier. Listen, trim the fat, cut out some stuff, and wherever you manufacture time, literally by getting rid of some of this stuff that has been stealing your appetite and time, then start filling that void with the righteous things of God. Start filling that void with the righteous things of God. Like how, you say? Well, one of the first things you ought to do is pray. Now, this isn't a lesson on prayer, because the honeycomb is the Word of God, but you ought to pray, and you ought to ask God to help you. Lord, I need to seek you more. I need to understand your Bible better. My eyes need to be open when I take the honey of the words of God. I want you to open my eyes so I can behold wondrous things out of your law. I want you to help me deal with these problems in my life and get my priorities straight. I want you to help me to get up earlier in the morning and be rested when I get up so that I can read better. I want you to help me to concentrate on what I'm reading and learn what I'm reading and live by what I'm reading and fill this spiritual void with nourishment. Some people honestly are so spiritually dead. I was talking to a fellow this morning, and his wife physically had gotten to a place where she could eat, but her body would literally not pick up the nutrients and therefore it would not eliminate the waste that was in her body. And when she'd eat, she'd look like she was pregnant. And to pass anything was just excruciating, painful, and nothing was digesting. It was the weirdest thing you've ever heard of. There's a name for this disorder, and other people have had it. And they've had to go through massive, massive things to retrain her body to uptake the nutrition from the food she's eating, to digest the food she's eating, and then to eliminate the waste. And he said it has been extremely, extremely physically painful for her. They can give her no painkillers for it. And for, literally for 10 days straight, she didn't even get any sleep. It hurt so bad. Well, you know what I said to him? I said, after he explained that to me, I said, that's the way it is with a lot of people who are who have not been spiritually nourished in a long time. They literally start spiritually dying. They're saved, but dead. And then you go to a Bible and start reading. You can't even digest what you're reading. You can't even understand what you're reading. There's no communication there at all. There's no sin being taken out of your life. So you got to pray and you got to ask God, start healing my body like God is healing this woman's body. So now it's beginning to work. You got to go through the pain and the suffering of getting back in a spiritually nutritious environment. And God has got to start filling that void and start cleansing out that sin. And it's painful. It is hard. It is difficult. It is not easy work whatsoever. But you need it. Why? Because you're full of the world and you are starving to death. And you got to be able to take some of the bitter things from God and start satisfying that spiritual hunger. He said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. He promised you that. So pray and then get in the Bible. Get Alexander Scorby reading the Bible and plug that into your ears. Get a indelible marker pen, like a Pigma pen, a .01 Pigma pen. You can buy them, you know, at art stores. And underline things that are meaningful to you and read and pay attention. Read the words with your eyes while you're hearing them with your ears. And then get in a good Bible teaching, Bible preaching, Bible believing church. And let the words of God start nourishing you through the preaching and teaching of the word of God that is given to you by God for the edification of your soul and the strength of your spiritual life. You need to do that. Because you're full of the world and you're starving to death nutritiously as a Christian. And then let God, as he builds you up spiritually, start using you for his glory and for his work and for the things that bring him pleasure and that will eventually bring you pleasure. Now that'd be our prayer to you. Get away from this obesity of world and into the spiritual nourishment of the words of God. According to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. That's what we encourage you to do. That's what we pray you will do. We know that God would appreciate it if you would.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.